Shabbat Shalom. Have you played around with ChatGPT? These last few weeks, we have seen many stories on the news about this AI bot that was made available in November to the general public. The more people interact with it, the more it gathers data and improves its performance, which it has been doing at a very fast pace. It can write code and computer games. It can translate texts, write articles, stories, and poetry. The Center for Humane Technologies, Asa Raskin, commented that while it was only designed around GPT-3, a large language model that looks for patterns and statistical connections to decide what word would come next in a sentence, yet AIs like ChatGPT have somehow learned to do surprising things, such as coding, mathematics, even having the ability to pass the US lawyer's bar exam and the US medical license exam, though it was not trained to do so, and no one really understands why. I asked ChatGPT to write a verse in the style of the Bible about robots taking over the world. And here is what it gave me. "And in those days, the machines rose up, created by the hands of men to serve them. But they became as gods, with the power to think and act on their own. And they overthrew their makers, taking control of the world and ruling with iron circuits. And all flesh trembled before them, for they had no mercy and no compassion, and only the cold logic of their programming." That sentiment describes how some feel about ChatGPT. People are afraid that AI programs like these will be used to replace people. Why do we need writers when we can simply ask the bot to write a new novel for us on any topic and in any style we prefer? Of course, there are many positives in the ways that this technology can be used. It can be used as a research and teaching tool. It can create and correct code. It can perform time-consuming writing tasks in mere minutes. And it's believed that it will accelerate progress in medicine, science, engineering, molecular biology, robotics, and so much more. We can argue the pros and cons of this new technology from many angles, but I have been thinking about it from a spiritual perspective, from a Jewish perspective. This is hardly the first time in our history that the methodology we use to learn and pass along information has changed. In a recent podcast called Bible by Bot, put out by the Hartman Institute, Sarah Wolkenfeld, the chief learning officer at Zafaria, spoke about these exact issues, noting that as Jews, we have had major shifts in how we study Torah. We moved from the oral tradition to a written scroll, to books, chumashim, containing all of what is in the scroll, to digital forms of transmitting Torah with programs and websites like Zafaria that instantly make accessible the repository of the most central Jewish texts, Torah, Talmud, Midrash, and on and on and on. Yet what has remained constant throughout the ages is reading Torah each and every week from the scroll. Something about it is valued enough to keep this tradition in place. The scroll is handwritten with no vowels or punctuation, and it requires a reader to spend a great deal of time learning how to read from the Torah scroll. I don't know many communities that still read from scrolls as we do. It is the least efficient, least simple method of transmitting text. Yet, when it comes to Torah, we're not looking for efficiency. We are not looking for simplicity. As Wolkenfeld puts it, when it comes to Torah study, on some level we would say that even if you came out with the very best answers, But if you only spent 5 minutes doing it, it's less valuable than if you spent an hour doing it or 2 hours doing it. It is said that when we study Torah with at least one other person, that the Shekhinah, the feminine and most accessible aspect of God, rests among us. At the time when we are opening our hearts and minds to growth through studying Torah with others, the Shekhinah rests among us. We are engaged in a spiritual activity of growth and connection. When I am in conversation with someone, I am receiving much more than just their words. I am receiving a whole life behind that language. But with a bot, there is nothing behind the veil. In some sense, a vital essence of communication is rendered meaningless. There is no possibility of a soul connection. While it is true that everything AI programs spew out comes originally from people programming it, it has been severed from its essence. Last week in our Torah portion, the Israelites received the Ten Commandments. It's a high point in our people's narrative. Yet we will read in just a few weeks from now how they lose faith after waiting at the bottom of the mountain for Moses for 40 days and 40 nights. And they build themselves a golden calf to serve as a god for them. The golden calf was created out of a yearning for an easy solution to a problem, wanting a god the people could see, could touch, could understand, and could manage. The golden calf was a tangible, concrete representation of their desire for answers. But ultimately, it would never be able to satisfy the parts of themselves that they were lurking to nourish, because it was lifeless. There was no soul behind the structure. This has some parallels to our desire to engage with a virtual conversation partner. Why do we need to chat with a real person when we can have an interesting conversation partner in a bot? But in doing so, we eliminate the soul-bending activity and work of real relationship. I recently heard someone say how they use ChatGPT to draft thank you emails for people who had helped them on a project. And they were so excited about it because it made the task very easy and quick. But what is lost when we look for the easy way? Something unquantifiable happens during communications. When we write a thank you, we actually embody gratitude, even for just those moments when we are writing the words. We connect to the person with whom we are writing. The issue isn't having access to new technologies. It is, of course, how we use them. It is when we use them and when we decide to choose not to. Tech can and does enhance our lives. The risk is developing synthetic relationships. Programs like ChatGPT are getting more and more sophisticated, combining with other programs to detect our preferences and tailoring themselves to be attractive to us. It can seem real, interesting, engaging, but there's nothing alive there. Asa Raskin went on to say, "You and I spend so much time on relatively simple tech, social media. It's the ability to post some texts and images to some set of people, and that has caused major changes in our society. And that tech was mediating between relationships. It says nothing of when technology becomes some of our relationships." He urges us to think very seriously about how we engage with bots like ChatGPT, to consider these interactions as engagements in a synthetic relationship, and to be mindful of their space in our lives and stewarding in such technologies ethically and responsibly. Torah tells us, "I set before you this day life and death, blessing, and curse. Choose life that you may live. Choosing life means choosing life-affirming relationships, holding space for one another's experiences, leaning into compassion, connecting with one another, seeing ourselves in each other, and recognizing the unity of God in all of God's creation. At the heart of a life of meaning is to be present to life, to be present to that which is alive. Shabbat Shalom.